Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Hi, good to be with you. Nice to have you join another edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. I'm going to talk today about, the two most unpopular subjects that we're told never to bring up in polite conversation, God and politics. Rex Loth is a pastor who has written a book called God Shed His Grace on Thee, and it's a chronicle of how integral a part the Christian religion paid, and still pays, to the formation of the American Republic. And I think it's a great thing that you wrote the book, and hopefully it's doing well. Rex, nice to have you with us on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to be with you. And it is doing very well. And we are approaching others about it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it's a message that we're very much in need of. As you have pointed out, if we give up on the primary message of the book, that in fact the Christian faith was the linchpin of the liberties, the foundation for the building of the republic, then once the foundation is gone, that pretty well brings the curtains down. And so it's vital that we as American citizens understand what it is that is America's all about. Why is it we are an exceptional country? What is it that makes us substantially unique among the countries of the world? I guess I've just gotten booed by most liberal audiences by saying that just now. But I think that's something that can be substantiated, and you've had at it in the book. Let's have at it now on the show.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
We could start with our founding by the European discovery of America. Columbus was, among other things, he was, like most of us, somebody that did things for more than one purpose, more than one reason. But he was looking to establish the Christian religion among the unbelievers of the New World. And this guy imported priests for that very purpose, to establish mission churches in the, I guess, initially the Caribbean islands. And eventually that effort spread to the mainland, where everywhere the Spanish went, there went the padres of the Catholic Church. So they went to a lot of trouble and expense to bring those guys along.
Oh, they certainly did. And what a lot of Americans don't realize, I mean, we talk about Columbus, and he is demonized today, you know, for what he did. But in his initial log, even before they reached the New World, which they would come to know as the New World later, he had mentioned that very thing, that he was going as a representative of Spain, but also as a representative foremost of God, and to bring the Christian faith to the folks which he thought were in the Far East.
You know, one of the, it wasn't Columbus that I'm thinking of right now, but Cortez is reviled as much, I think, as Columbus by those who don't know what was going on, because when he got to Mexico City, he got to the quote-unquote Rome of the cut-your-heart-out religion. The Aztecs thought it was really cool to offer a daily human living sacrifice, and out came the heart of the living person, still beating, as the priest held it up and let the blood run down his arm and his cloak. That's what was going on when the Europeans got here. And while Columbus wasn't directly engaged on the mainland, he had to deal with that in the islands that he landed in.
Absolutely.
So I think we really underestimate the motives of these people. Of course, Columbus was looking for gold. How else was he going to pay back the financiers that had made his trip possible? So he wasn't assuming that he could go back and punch a government check out and everything would be fine. The royals that had underwritten his trip were looking for payback. This was business as far as they were concerned. Those colonies were absolutely expected to produce money for them.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, the way that God approaches anything, and I think I try to outline that pretty well in the book, is that, there is a practical way of approaching life, but there's also the godly influence, and that's exactly what happened at our formation.
And it's really nice to see that that was the case, whether it were the Spaniards that we're talking about or later, of course, the English. At least I was more familiar with their Christian orientation. And I've been to Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I've seen the settlement that the Puritans established there, or at least a replica of it. And I'm aware that they had come as much as anything for religious freedom. They were financed by a company, and they had to keep in mind that they were there to pay their bills, but they wouldn't have even bothered looking for the financial backing had it not been that they had the hope that they'd finally escape the heavy hand of government dislike of their brand of Christianity.
Exactly. And with that company, the Virginia Company of London, when they got to the New World, they put together the Mayflower Compact, and both sides signed an agreement that they would act under proper business reasons and under the hand of God.
Just about every document that had any official nature that I'm aware of at that time made a reference to a personal God. These folks were very aware that what they were doing was something they were going to be accountable for. They were doing it in order to glorify God. In fact, if I recall more or less correctly, one of the ways the Mayflower Compact begins is in the name of God, amen, or something like that. But they just couldn't refrain from that kind of expression. That was the way they thought.
Absolutely, and it is the foundation of all, and you know, some folks would say, oh, no, it's just a few of the founding documents, but it is honestly the way that all of the documents which established the New World were written was by referencing Christianity and God. In fact, I pointed out in the book that the early explorers were told by their kings and queens, you know, the monarchies that were sending them over here, that they were to subdue the lands that were not under a Christian prince. If it was under a Christian prince, they were not to touch it at all.
So clearly that underscores the fact that they had one of their purposes for coming was for missionary purposes. And obviously they're not going to evangelize a country, a colony that's already under a Christian king.
Exactly.
So, pretty straightforward. And of course they came with guns, not just to be able to hunt, which of course they did and they had to, but as time went on, they realized that they were going to have to be able to defend themselves against the French and the Indians that the French were whipping up. And so in the warp and woof of the worldview of those who settled North America was just we got guns.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's probably one of the more hotly debated items, you know, in our day and time and throughout the Christian community as well. is, you know, what point do guns have in all of that?
Well, let's get back to that when we return from these messages. What indeed was the role that guns played in the thinking and the history of the founding of America? Gun Owners News Hour, and we're talking about God shed his grace on thee.
So I say to Mark at lunch, look, you know, I keep hearing from the government that, you know, they're worried someday ISIS may get here. And I go, duh, Garland, Texas, Muhammad cartoon shooting, ISIS is already here. I'm not waiting for these people to defend me. If they don't know ISIS is here already, they got no clue, I'm taking care of myself. Guns80.com, AR-15 kits, 30-shot magazines, great prices. They've even got the Hillary special. Guns80.com, that's 844-2-GUNS-80, Guns80.com.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
No way. Is that a real bullet necklace?
No, it's a 9mm bullet necklace with matching earrings, you'll notice.
Those are awesome. Where'd you get them?
Dave found them at PatriotNecklace.com.
Wow.
They have a variety of calibers and necklaces and earrings and keychains.
PatriotNecklace.com?
PatriotNecklace.com.
Your choice of caliber bullet includes a rugged American-made stainless steel dog tag chain. A percentage of every sale goes to military and service-related charities. And get a discount by entering GCN at checkout. Show your patriotism and support our troops with a bullet necklace from PatriotNecklace.com.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We've all heard the news stories. Another shooting. And they're getting worse. That's why Infidel Body Armor introduces Infidel Fridays. Exclusive 24-hour insider deals to save you money and possibly save your life. Make it a favorite when you log on to InfidelBodyArmor.com. Then be sure to visit each and every Infidel Friday to get special insider pricing, but for 24 hours only. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
And today my guest is the Reverend Rex Louth. He is the author of God Shed His Grace on Thee. He's also a pastor of a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So I don't know how you actually get time to write books, because I'm pretty active in my church, and I know how active and busy our pastor is, and it's to say the least, a full-time job. So my hat's off to you for having done what you've done with this.
Well, thank you.
It is a subject that we want to, let's see, I almost forgot. What did we say we wanted to get back to was the...
the place of guns and Christianity and how that played a role.
Yeah, that I think is something that you deal with very nicely in the book, and we certainly want to focus our attention on that, because this is how we were formed, by godly people, not only who happened to have guns, but they had a whole theology about self-defense.
Absolutely, they did. And many of the pastors, you know, as they were coming to the point where they were looking at, you know, their freedoms, and they were looking at what the King of England was doing against the colonies, those pastors were pointing out the various places throughout God's Word that talks about rejecting tyranny and standing up for yourself, basically protecting your values and being able to do so. And guns, and while they didn't have guns in the biblical days, they did have swords. And the Bible's very clear about the use of swords in some circumstances.
It's something that, as an elder in a Presbyterian church, I felt it was important that if I was going to be the executive director of Gun Owners of America, I'd better be able to answer those Christians who might, in good conscience, say, well, how can you possibly defend the use of lethal force when you're a Christian? Because doesn't Christianity say turn the other cheek? And indeed, the Bible does say turn the other cheek, but it doesn't say turn the other cheek while somebody's trying to kill me and or my family.
Exactly.
Then we've crossed into another area of discussion, and that discussion is called Get Me My Sword.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you know, what a lot of folks don't understand or don't realize, I mean, they may have read their Bibles a few times, but they seem to skip over the fact that even at the night of the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before Jesus would be led away and ultimately crucified the next day, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, how many swords do you have? And they said, well, we have two here. And he said, that's enough.
Good, that's enough. Hardly an admonition or a criticism or a rebuke.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad you guys got something with you.
Exactly.
Because he went on to add, apparently, a little bit later on, that I'm not going to be with you, and when I'm not here, you're going to need a sword.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, folks say, well, how did Peter get the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane to cut off the ear of the servant? Well,
He got it through the electronic security without them noticing it, right?
Exactly.
No, Christ didn't rebuke him. When he came in with that sword clanking on his thigh, there was no rebuke.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was just a very normal thing for people to be able to protect themselves, and all the more when the creator of the universe wasn't going to be around to turn water into wine and other remarkable things of that sort.
Precisely.
So... there was no hostility whatsoever. In fact, the only rebuke Peter ever got was for using the sword inappropriately when he lopped off the temple guard's ear. He was rebuked for doing that because, as Christ told him in summary, you don't know why I'm here. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what's about to happen and what the significance of it is. And I'm not going to allow you to interfere with why I came.
Exactly. And it was very, you know, you're right. He did not rebuke him for having a sword. He had asked him if he had one before they went out there. And when he cut off that servant's ear, it was just because he had overreacted to the moment.
Which was typical of Peter, and many of us can relate to that.
Yes.
But it was handled very deftly. The servant got his ear back on, which should have given pause to those that came to arrest Christ. What?
I would think so.
But I guess there are none who are...
Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, in fact, they should have recognized something was afoot when they asked him if he was the Christ, and he said, I am, and they were knocked back on their backsides, you know. But
right. That was a little bit unusual. That doesn't happen every time when somebody says, I am, which, of course, biblically we know is the way God explains who he is. He says, I am who I am.
Yeah.
And when Christ said, I am, the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was saying, and they didn't like it at all. And so when Christ, as you say, says, I am in the garden, and these guys all fall backwards. Hey, guys, is that normally what happens when you go to arrest somebody? And he says, yeah, I'm John Jones. I am. And you all fall on your keisters. So just another night in Jerusalem. Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, nothing new. Just carry on with your life.
Yeah.
And you know, and Jesus wasn't exactly someone who was never armed himself. I mean, when he twice in his ministry, at the very beginning of the ministry, at the very end of the ministry, went into the temple with a cat of nine tails, if you want to call it that, a whip, and drove out the money changers.
And, yeah, that cat of nine tails, as I understand it, probably had shards of glass and whatever else was nasty and cutting and hurtful. It wasn't just leather.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So he really wanted to get their attention, and evidently he did.
I would think so, yes.
So the business was closed for that day.
And I would suggest they probably didn't go back for a little while.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, a few years later, business was permanently closed.
Yes, exactly.
And the temple was destroyed by the Romans. That was that. Certainly violence was not something that Christ was opposed to in principle. It was simply, is it being properly used at the right time and the right place?
Absolutely.
So, heartburn for our Christian pacifist brothers, but... I think they're just going to have to take another look at the Scripture and realize that when you look at the Old Testament, when you look at the New Testament, you don't see any difference on this subject. Violence is to be used to protect innocent life. We're talking about God Shed His Grace on Thee, which is a Christian history of the founding of the American Republic. That's the bedrock we're on, folks. We're going to be back with Rex Locke very soon.
We are a survival company. We manufacture our own line of Level 3 and Level 3A body armor. We proudly make our armor 100% in America. We have the best prices in the nation, about $125 cheaper than our nearest competitor. All lab certified, for thou art my rock and my fortress, Psalm 31:3. We are FortressSurvivalLLC.com.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let
gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacro wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the sacro wedgie.
We've all heard the news stories. Another shooting. And they're getting worse. That's why Infidel Body Armor introduces Infidel Fridays. Exclusive 24-hour insider deals to save you money and possibly save your life. Make it a favorite when you log on to InfidelBodyArmor.com. Then be sure to visit each and every Infidel Friday to get special insider pricing. But for 24 hours only. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest today is the Reverend Rex Louth. We're talking about his book, The God Shed His Grace on Thee. Rex Louth comes to us from Colorado Springs, Colorado, where he pastors a church there in that beautiful city. If you got to live someplace, that's a pretty good place to call home.
Oh, it certainly is.
A remarkable view of the mountains from that valley. American Republic was founded with the same view of the sword that we do find in the scripture, and nobody was probably more aware of it than was George III, the King of England, and at least for a while, the King of the British Empire, including the colony in America, or the colonies, actually. There were multiple. And he knew who his main opponent was.
Oh, he certainly did. And he was very angry with what he called the Black Robe Regiment. Now, some have, you know, taken up that Black Robe Regiment, and they don't realize what disdain that King George used when he used that terminology.
Yeah, these were these rebellious preachers who were not willing to do everything that King George said to do. And they were preaching that his word was not completely the law in every respect. And they weren't saying that that George III shouldn't be viewed as the king, but they were saying the king had overstepped his bounds. And I think
Absolutely. That
chapped him more than anything else they could have said, was that George III wasn't doing his job.
So very true. Well, and at the time, it was considered that the king, the monarch, was not only king in the political realm, but that he was ordained of God to be king, that his word was law because he was acting on behalf of God. And when they dared challenge that, it irritated him beyond words. And he actually put out a bounty on some of the preacher's heads.
Well, I'm looking at a reproduction of a depiction of one of them, Peter Muhlenberg, his act of declaration of independence, if you will, is on my wall. He had given a mighty sermon about there's a time for this and a time for that, concluding that there's a time for peace, but now it's a time for war. And probably about that point, as he's reiterating that particular passage of Scripture, he takes off his, and this is what my drawing depicts, takes off his clerical gown with his right hand. I think he's, I can't quite make it out, he's holding his Bible or something in his other hand. Yes, he's holding his Bible in his other hand. And so off comes the clerical gown, and underneath is a colonel's uniform, colonel in the American Army of George Washington. Actually, it was probably a captain's uniform at the time, but he made colonel and stayed with Washington the whole time and left to go back to peacetime Virginia when he was a colonel. So the exciting thing is Peter Muhlenberg, while he's well known, was hardly unique. There were guys like him up and down the coast of the colonies of the United States doing and saying the same things, riding out to battle, proclaiming that there's no king but Jesus. Oh, did that chap King George.
Oh, yes. And he had King George had Tories. Of course, those were those who were supportive of the king in the colonies. He had Tories that were sending him letters outlining the actions of these men in the pulpit, and it was it among other things, but was probably one of the more prominent things that just urged King George to bring an assault against the colonies and to shut them down.
Well, he didn't understand that every time he reacted harshly, he was actually producing a greater counter reaction. And I guess when you're an absolute monarch, it doesn't occur to you that maybe negotiation wouldn't be too bad an idea. But at least we don't have much record of anybody on his behalf having pursued such an effort. The Church of England, which was under King George, wasn't about ready to cede their privilege, and the governors were appointed by King George, so they weren't about ready to say, "Oh, Mr. George, you got it all wrong." So he wasn't getting a whole lot of pushback, except from these shirt-tail printers and clergymen. And who were they? Certainly, they could be dispensed with. As you pointed out in the book, George III was the head of a country that had just wiped out all other significant opposition. They were the king of the hill. They were the hegemon, as we are now, the big world power. So who are these silly people over in the United States, as we call it now, to tell him anything?
Oh, absolutely. And what another aspect of this is that folks don't recognize a lot is that our those who had gathered in Congress, the Continental Congress, had sent several petitions to King George to try and get him to back off a little bit. They pursued peace several times, and each time it was rejected and more harsh response was given.
That, I think, is well worth our pointing out, that there was not a rush to arms. The folks over here weren't saying, oh, goody, I'm going to get to shoot a redcoat today. They really tried everything possible to avoid that. And I guess at least for 10 years, there were active measures, active petitions before the king, all to no avail.
Absolutely. And even after what we now call the shot heard round the world in 1775, it was well over a year. I believe that was March, if I remember correctly,
right.
March 15th, 1775. And even after that, while there was active engagements and there was indeed a colonial army, it still took a year and a quarter before they actually issued a Declaration of Independence.
Which is kind of interesting for me, anyway, that here they are engaged in active armed resistance, and they're not declaring independence. I guess it's kind of analogous to what happened in Athens, Tennessee in 1946, when the people with arms resisted the town leaders who had become so corrupt. I don't think a declaration of independence from Athens or from Tennessee or from the county or whatever ever occurred. Nor was there any talk of secession in Bunkerville, Nevada, when people were arming to resist by force of arms the Bureau of Land Management on Clive and Bundy's ranch. It was so. I think it would have been analogous. It was, hey, we think you're out of line. We don't want to do this, but if we have to, we'll shoot back if you shoot first. But that's not a declaration of independence. That's a restoration of the proper order of government.
Absolutely correct. And, you know, that and there were pastors, I mean, you know, to bring that aspect back into it, there were pastors involved in that first incursion by the British. And, you know, so.
Well, let's take a look at those pastors and their involvement in more detail when we get back. We're talking about God Shed His Grace on Thee, a book by Reverend Rex Louth, and it deals with the active participation of the clergy in our war for independence.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government? Be truly independent. Visit LibertyOnCall.org. LibertyOnCall.org is a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care. Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. LibertyOnCall.org. Call today.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done.
It's your Biffy in a jiffy. Biffybag.com. BIFFYBAG.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
You're old enough to tell that something is definitely wrong. You've been paying attention for years, and you're ready. You're probably frustrated because your children don't listen to your words of warning. What will you do when your grandkids show up hungry at your door? Get more food storage from Ready Supply Foods. We sell 50% more food for your dollar, and we can prove it. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We're the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
We're talking about how America became the United States of America, and it wasn't because some guys were sitting around in a pub in Philadelphia discussing the really cool ideas of the French Enlightenment, Voltaire and other contemporaries, but it was because they were talking about the offense of the British overreach beyond the limits of the government that limited even King George III, as much as he might not have liked to hear that, and the biblical basis, as well as the constitutional basis, the various pacts and compacts that they had with the king. That was the subject of the discussion. The Enlightenment didn't have a thing to do with what was motivating the colonists, and efforts by historians in our day to indicate that somehow this was a blossoming of man's reason, and that's what drove men to risk their lives, their family's welfare, their fortunes. All of that was put at risk, and most of them lost the bet. So many of our founders were impoverished by the effort to gain independence. They paid a heavy price. And I don't know. Well, I hope I would have been able to rise to that. But when you have to count that cost and you're thinking, gee, am I willing to be a mendicant, a beggar? Am I willing to be totally devoid of any resources? Is there anything that would drive me to risk that? Well, that's what these folks did. They, not only they, but their families as well. Because even if the families weren't engaged militarily or openly politically, the families were along for the ride, and they knew what was at stake. And you have some correspondence with Abigail Adams and her husband John. She had the picture.
Oh, she certainly did. She recognized that this was going to be something that she and the entire family was in for the long haul. That it was going to affect everything about their family, and she saw it firsthand. While John Adams was at the Continental Congress, she saw firsthand what was going on there in the Boston area. With the British, you know, closing down the fort and all that was going on there and massacring many of the colonists.
And now we're at a time when our president, rather than honoring what these people did and the risk that they took, he's actually mocked the scripture and pointed to sections that he doesn't cotton to, and then goes on to conclude that, well, he can say that because we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, I hope he's wrong. I'm afraid you can make that argument, but
certainly,
if he's right, we're in a heap more trouble than I'd like to think.
Absolutely. And one thing, and the reason that it was pressed on my heart, I believe, by God so strongly to write this book, is because we are facing the critical point in our nation's history. Now, some folks, you know, they've said, well, this election's more important or that election's more important. But, and I believe in elections. I am very politically involved as a citizen, as well as, you know, socially involved as a pastor. But one thing that folks have to understand is we are at a critical point in our social makeup that affects our political makeup. And it is a critical point where we have to decide, are we or are we not? And if we decide that we're not, you're right, we're in a lot of trouble.
I like the way you dealt with the whole issue of hope and change. You didn't use that slogan per se, but I suspect that's what you had in mind when you wrote something to the effect that when men begin to believe that they're smarter than their predecessors, they tend to ignore precedent and instead believe in an undefined hope. Isn't that exactly what was sold the American people the first time the president was elected?
Absolutely. That is precisely what they were sold.
And he's now doing the defining. We're now finding out what it means to hope in the fundamental transformation of America. And I don't think even a lot of liberals really want to see the whole country destroyed so it can be rebuilt. I think most liberals have their mistaken ideas about how to make the country better, but hopefully there's not that many yet that actually want to see the whole country brought down.
Well, I would hope not. And, you know, I have spoken with friends of mine who are more liberal-leaning, and I get from them that they do have a heart for their country. But when I do speak to them and we get into some of our debates, what I suggest to them is that while you might see some of these items as being, you know, special to you, you have to see where this current administration and other proposed administrations want to lead us. And it is down a path of destruction that we don't want to go.
Well, I hope they might be capable of seeing that, but so far the country still seems to have an awful lot of people that listen. It may be not to we need to fundamentally transform the country. We don't even hear that much more of that coming from the president. But we still have a Democrat Party that is interested, in effect, in fundamentally transforming the country. And it's, I guess that's really where the issue is going to be as we approach the next election in 2016, is what is the future of America? What is our role in the world? And how do we maximize freedom and happiness within our own country? And is this really something the government ought to or even can deliver on?
Exactly. And it really isn't. And our founding fathers understood that. They understood that when they talk about, you know, our happiness, the pursuit of happiness, what they were saying is the government should not be in a position to control the populace. They should be able to pursue the happiness of, you know, commerce and whatever life that they decide to live, as far as what job they will perform in society and what position they will take. And, you know, their idea of happiness was not what can the government give me.
And included in those list of choices is what church, if any, they might go to.
Exactly.
That was part of the settlement at the time of the American Republic's establishment, was that we felt that that was none of the government's business, as were most things in our lives, none of the government's business. My, how we've come some way since then.
We have traveled a great distance, and I'm not sure it was in the right direction.
Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
exactly.
You know, we
I was trying to be polite about that.
Yes, I thought too polite. One of the things I'd like to circle back to, since we have a few seconds left, was you had spotted that episode where Isaac Potts, the Quaker, apparently had come upon Washington, and some reason to think maybe this actually happened, and it actually convinced pacifist Quaker, but then I repeat myself, Isaac Watts, that you could be both a soldier and a Christian because
yes.
of the way he heard Washington pray.
Absolutely. And that is probably one of the most convincing and compelling arguments for that occurrence actually happening, and is his continued, I mean, he wrote it down, and I quote it in the book, but this was something that he spread throughout all of those that he came in contact with, and you could kind of tell that from his writing, that he actually came across George Washington in the woods around Valley Forge, pouring his heart out to God and crying out for an answer. What should he do? Where should he go? How should he lead these men? And it was after that prayer went back and made the change.
Well, that's a good note to end our discussion on. Yes, the country was founded by a group of very devout Christian people. They were willing to die for those beliefs. And hopefully there are still some in our country left that have the very same conviction. Rex Lau, thank you so much for writing God Shed His Grace on Thee and for this interview.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
That's disgusting. What's that smell? Roll down your window before I pass out.
It's those nasty fish oil pills I've been taking.
Why won't you just switch to Nutrigold fish oil like I did?
It's fish oil. What's the difference?
Well, my Nutrigold fish oil is sourced and manufactured right here in the USA.
What's so special about that? Aren't they all?
Are you kidding? Of course not. Only Nutrigold fish oil is 100% USA made, which is why it's so fresh.
100% product of USA and fresh? I like the sound of that. So no more fish burps?
No more fish burps. And that's not all. If you go to www.fishoil.best and enter my fish oil, you can save $5 like I did.
Now that won't be necessary. We can just share your bottle.
Nice try. Get your own at www.fishoil.best.
Sorry.
Get rid of those fish burps for good. Go to Nutrigold's U.S.-made fish oil products by going to www.fishoil.best and get $5 off by entering My Fish Oil at checkout.